Well, good morning, everyone. I don't know if you can hear me with this mic. Can everybody hear me? You can hear me back there? That's good. If you can't, I can either really scream or you can come and sit right up here. We can pretend I'm Jesus and I can sit over here like the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and you can get, that would be good too. But anyhow, it is wonderful to be with all of you here today. All you folks, God bless you. I've been looking forward to this for about the last 4 months. When I had talked to our area minister, Terry Fawson, we were still in High Prairie because I'm retired from the ministry now, but I do fill in local churches where they have a need. So we were in High Prairie for 26 months until they were established and got a pastor. But this is a totally different situation. And Terry Fawson mentioned that Pastor Allen would take 3 months to do something that he wanted to do and be with his dad and so forth. And so I thought, well, it'd be nice to fill in if that's okay. So I've been looking forward to this for about the last 4 months. My wife and I live in Leduc now, and we've met some of you a little bit. Like I mentioned to some people, you know, our last ministry as interim pastor lasted 26 months. This is only a few weeks, so it'll kind of, you probably will forget us by the time it's all done. So I'm not trying to do anything deep other than just be here for you if you want to pray with me, or I'll be in the office. If I'm not here, just give me a call. If you want my cell number, I'll give it to you. If you want to come and just have a coffee here or just talk to me, or maybe a need of prayer, or if you'd like us to visit you, let us know. So we're here for you. That's why I do this. Okay, so thank you so much. We have a nice little place here that's provided for us, and my wife and I just had a lovely time here. We're only here for 2 days, but we will come on a Wednesday and leave Sunday after church. That's our plan. So if you want to get to know us a little better, that's great. We want to turn our attention to the Word of God. We're going to look at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. So, what I like to do, I like to look at books of the Bible, okay? Because I think when we look at the Word of God, God's Word sort of deals with everything. You know, it deals with the happy times and the sad times and depression and anxiety. And if you're rich or if you're poor, or if you're going to be born or if you're going to die, or if somebody likes you or if they hate you, direction for your life, it's all in the Word of God. And if you preach through books of the Bible, it's all there. All the questions are answered because it's God's Word. That's just the way it works. So we're going to look at the book of Ephesians for pretty much most of the time I'm here. I don't even know if we'll get through it all. Well, we'll get through most of it anyhow. Except for if I'm here, I hope to be anyhow for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. I'll speak specifically on those themes. And for Mother's Day, I'll speak on that. But the rest of the time, we'll be looking at this book. So Ephesians, I'm going to read, first of all, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians 1, 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now I want to look first of all at who the writer is. And it says here, Paul. All right. Who is Paul? So I'm going to look at some verses here, and you'll probably notice that my style basically is I like to look at Scripture, and I like to look at Scripture, and I like to look at Scripture, and then I pray, and I shut up, and I go home. And that's all I know how to do, because outside of the Word of God, I don't know much. So it's all God's Word. So if you love the Word of God, you're going to like me, and if you don't, you're probably going to find me boring. I remember preaching one time when one lady took note, and she said, Pastor, this morning, you looked at 14 different portions of the Word of God. And I thought, is that such a sin? I mean, I know some pastors out there don't like to preach with the Word of God, but I like to just use the Word of God. So, Acts chapter 7, verse 58. we're sort of introduced to Paul. So, Paul is in a prison here in the town of Ephesus. Whenever preachers like me now come to town, they put us in a nice place. But Paul, they put him in a prison. So he's in prison. They didn't like him because he preached the gospel. They thought he was a total enemy of the state. But before he became the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And in Acts 7:58, it says that they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. That's how they rewarded Stephen, the first real champion for Jesus Christ. They took these large stones. That's how they murdered people in the day of Jesus, and they would stone him to death. And meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of the one who was in charge, and that was Saul. So that's the first introduction we get. Next, if you go to Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, we find out more about who this man is that wrote this epistle. In Acts 9, beginning at verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who were belong to the way, whether they be men or women, he might take them prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around. He fell to the ground, and a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So we're getting a glimpse here of who this man was, totally opposed to God, totally opposed to the gospel. By the way, if you're praying for somebody and you think they're totally opposed to Jesus, think of Paul. Think of Saul. He was completely opposed. And yet the Lord did a miracle in his life. In the same chapter, Acts 9, beginning at verse 13, "Lord," Ananias answered, because Ananias was supposed to talk to him. And you can imagine if you knew in your community somebody that actually wanted to murder Christians, and now God said, "No, you personally go to that person." And Ananias said, no, wait a minute. "I heard many reports about this man and all harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument." And we're going to see this in the book of Ephesians. If you're here, you are one of God's chosen instruments. You're not here by mistake. God chose you. We're going to look at this next week from before the foundation of the world. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Saul would never choose God. You know, like a mouse would choose a cat. Saul would never choose God. God had to choose him. He's my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings, people of Israel. I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Not a popular way to preach the gospel, right? Come to Jesus, and you're going to know how much you're going to suffer for the sake of Jesus. But that was the man who wrote this book. Now, Saul took three missionary journeys that we know of. We can read it in the book of Acts. Went all over the world, and when Shalini and I were, we went to Greece, we went to the Holy Land, we went to Turkey, and we saw some places where Saul roamed around in that world. He also eventually went to Jerusalem, which was not a nice place to go to. They wanted to kill him there. Finally ends up in Rome, and he gets his head chopped off and dies as a martyr. Paul wrote about half of the New Testament, so that's how important this man is in the scriptures. When you look at your New Testament, remember that it was written by Paul, almost half of it. Now, this prison epistle was written from Rome. Let's look next at the recipients in back to Ephesians here. "To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus." That's who you are. That's who you and I are. And that's who Paul wrote this epistle to. To the saints, that's you and me. To the faithful ones, all who are truly saved. If we look over to Colossians chapter 1, So I'm going to read verses 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us, and I want you to get this, okay, because this is who you are, and this is the miracle that God did in your life. So lest you're prone to boast and be proud that you did something, verse 13 says that he rescued you from the dominion of darkness, and we live in a dark world. We know the devil's all around us, and he's creating all kinds of problems. And he brought us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And that is who this epistle, Paul the Apostle, writes this epistle to, people like you and I, who have been rescued from the darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, what is the message of this epistle? Verse 2, Ephesians, back to our main text, verse 2, chapter 1, grace and peace. And grace and peace, Paul mentions more than anything else. Throughout the scripture, no one speaks about grace more than Paul. If you had lived a life of sin like Paul did, if you were a murderer like Paul, and God made him an example, look, if I can save this guy, I can save anybody. And his writings are full of grace and peace. And these words appear over and over and over. Grace and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is no longer the one he's persecuting and destroying. He's my Lord Jesus Christ. He controls every area of my life. He's in control of me when I'm depressed, when I feel like dying, when I feel great, when I'm confused, when I did something stupid, when I do something good, when everybody loves me. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. I'm totally controlled, not by my money, not by what people think about me, not by what's going to happen tomorrow, not by what I did or what I do or what I'm going to do. He's my Lord. He's why I exist. So that's the message. Peace with God was broken in the garden. And God said to our first parents, to Adam and Eve, if you eat from this tree, it's going to be bad. And the history of the human race for the last 6,000 years has shown that it has gotten bad, because God is a God of his word. You do what God wants you to do, you're blessed. You do what God does not want you to do, you suffer the consequences, and that's the consequences of our world. Peace with God has been broken. And Jesus came to restore that. And in, let me read a few verses. In John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you like the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid. And our hearts are often troubled and afraid. My heart is often troubled and afraid. I've walked with Jesus now. I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior back in 1977 in the city of Toronto, where I was living at the time, at a church called the People's Church. This famous church in Canada, Oswald J. Smith, Paul B. Smith, and I gave my life to Jesus back then. That's been now close to 50 years walking with Jesus, and often my heart is filled with fear, and I have to go back to this verse. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid. In John 16, verse 33. I told you these things so that in me you might have peace. My friend, outside of Jesus, you will not have peace. You will never have peace in your money. You will never have peace because people are saying good things about you. You will never have peace because you look at the political climate out there or the circumstances. In this world, you all have trouble. I don't know why sometimes as Christians we just don't get it. Jesus told us that. In this world, you will have trouble. But he says, I've overcome the world, and in Christ we can have the peace which passes all understanding. That even as Paul later and Silas being in that prison in Philippi, it's midnight, you remember? They were going to be killed the next day, and they're singing at midnight, and then there's a shaking, and there's a miracle there in Acts chapter 16. And the Philippian jailer and his entire house turned to the Lord, is because they saw the peace that Paul had even in the midst of dying or being put to death. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 10, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, when people say good things about you, right? When everybody likes you. No, blessed are you if they insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad. Great is your reward on earth. No, in heaven. A lot of Christians look for heaven on earth. We want to live here as long as possible. But this for believers is the closest we'll get to hell. For the unbeliever, it's as close as they get to heaven, because hell awaits for them. You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We have the writer. We have the recipients, we have the message, and fourthly, we have the blessing in verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And is it a blessing to be a Christian? Is it a blessing to walk with Jesus? Yes, I would never say no. But the fullest blessing, the greatest blessing, the blessing that God talks about is not here. It's not until we get to heaven. A lot of people say, yeah, but I want heaven here right now. And you know what? We go through seasons of our lives. Well, maybe it is kind of like heaven. And then sometimes it's more like hell. But that's not the promise of God. So we can't blame God if things are in disarray, because he never promised us that. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realm, not the earthly realm, in every spiritual blessing in Christ. This concept of blessing is throughout the scripture. It's a blessing of God. God comes to people in poverty, in dire situations, when things are really going wrong, when you would least expect it. And I just want to read just a couple of scriptures. I'm coming close to a conclusion here. In Luke chapter 1, I love reading the blessings in the Bible. You know, when God does something special in the life of Abraham, Hannah, for instance, when she has that little boy, when she couldn't have any. And there's always blessings, because God is a God of blessing. He's a God who wants to bless her. He's a God who came to bless the earth. He's a God who blesses the church. He's a God who blesses through the church. He's just a God of blessing. He just can't help but bless. And so we bless him back, and we know his blessing. So in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 30. The angel said to her, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. That's Yeshua, Joshua, Savior. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign, and his kingdom will never end. And then Mary said, well, she talked about how, let me skip a little bit from here, because this is quite a thing, because Mary, you see, as we talk about the mother of our Savior, most commentators feel she was maybe only 12, 13, 14, just a young girl. Joseph may have been about that. Okay, most commentators feel they were just teenagers. In those days, marriages were arranged. So a young girl, a young fellow would get married, all arranged by the parents. And so they were not married yet. They were just engaged, but she found out she was with child, but it was of the Holy Spirit. So verses 41 and 42. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear." And Mary is blessed, and we reverence and honor her, even though she had to be saved like the rest of us, but she was especially chosen to be the mother of our Lord. And then down to verse 46, Luke chapter 1, we have what's called Mary's song here. So let me read a little bit of this. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And, you know, this is a good way to pray, by the way. Sometimes if we just read the prayers of the Bible, we can pray them back to God. God will honor that. You know, when God blesses you, think of the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Has he given you blessings, children, a husband, a wife, a roof over your head, health, all kinds of things? You say, "Well, I begin my day by looking at all the bad stuff." Don't do that. Begin your day by counting all your blessings. You got two good eyes. You got two good ears. You got a good nose. You got some hair on your head. You can use your hands. There are lots of people that don't have those things. You got two good feet. They'll take you around. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he's been mindful of the humble state. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him." His mercy extends not just to anybody, only to those who fear him. "And from generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." And that's what's happening to the proud of our day. And that's why they're making some foolish decisions, because they simply don't know the Lord. "He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." So, in conclusion, and you'll probably hear me say this throughout our study in this little book of Ephesians, that we are made for the glory of God. That is primarily who you are. You know, I have to laugh because sometimes when I get with people and, you know, there's a lot of peer pressure, you know, the question is, well, what have you done? And what do you do? And what are you going to do? This is who we are in this world. And there's this pressure, you see. And who are you anyhow? What's your title? But as a Christian, my friend, that's not the question. Jesus said, in this world, people lord it over you. It's not so in the kingdom of God. Let the greatest be the least. Let the first be last. Who you are is, you are a child of God. You belong to God. You belong to Jesus Christ. He has washed your sins, past, present, and future, even the ones you're going to do tomorrow. Because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And that's who we are. That's who we really are. And when it's all said and done, it's not going to be about our money and about what we did and what title we had. It's going to be whether we belong to him or not. Because when the rich man died and went to hell, and Lazarus died and went to heaven, the rich man said, "Could you send somebody back? I got five brothers who don't believe hell is real." They couldn't do that. They have to believe the scripture. And the scripture tells you, my friend, the word of God, that who you are is you belong to him because of Jesus. And you're made for his glory. And because We believe that we are made for the glory of God. We want God to use everything to bring about His glory. And you know, He will. You don't have to stress over that. God's promise to you is that He will bring everything in your life, even those confusing times, those trying times, those wayward times, those up and down times. He'll use it all. He'll marvelously bring it all, even when you think your world is just falling to pieces, to bring glory to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, two verses and then I'm done here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, okay, that's inclusive. Okay, that's absolutely everything. Do it all for the glory of God, because you're made for the glory of God and you're living for the glory of God, and God will see to it. It's not something you have to do, by the way, because none of us could do it. And He will see that in your life will bring glory to Him. If you're His child, that's His promise to you. He will cause all things to work to your good, for His purposes, and to bring glory to Almighty God. And then finally, the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9. So we make it, 2 Corinthians 5, 9. We make it our goal to please Him. Whether we're at home, I love the way it puts us here. Whether we're at home in the body or away from it. Whether we're in this world and we have to live in this decaying body, because flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 15. We make it our goal. People talk in the secular world about making sure you have goals, have lots of money, a good retirement plan, travel the world, a bigger car, a bigger house. So people can say, wow. But we make it our goal to please Jesus Christ, because we're made for His glory. And later Paul would say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Those are my thoughts for you this morning. I trust that something in the Word of God has blessed you this morning. Thank you for having me. We're going to stand for prayer. I don't know if anything else is going to happen. I will close in prayer. I was asked to close in prayer, so I will do that. So if we could just stand together, please. Father God, I thank You so much for having had the opportunity to speak Your Word to these wonderful people. And being that this is really my first Sunday here, and I don't really know anybody that well at all, I do not know, Lord, who in this particular group right here may be listening to me, to the sound of my voice on video or whatever, is going through a difficult time, a trying time, time of pressure, time of sickness, time of depression, time of anxiety, time of uncertainty. But Lord, You've promised this morning that You would give us Your peace, that You would give us Your presence, and that You would guide and direct in all the affairs of our lives, so that You would cause in some way, in some marvelous way, all things to work together for our good and to bring glory to Your name, just as You did in Paul's life. He started out as a person who was totally against You, but You turned him around so that his life and teaching and preaching and his writings have brought marvelous strength and faith and faithfulness to generation after generation for 2,000 years. Use us in that way, Lord God. We bring our trials and our petitions before You and our prayers. We bring our joys and our thanksgiving. We bring everything to You, Lord, but we do acknowledge that You are God, and without You we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who gives us strength. So whatever the need is for this week, for all of us, Lord, meet that need and cause us to be ever joyful and thankful because you are our God. And go with us now, Lord, and help us to be lights. Help us to walk with you, Lord. Help us to walk in your love and in your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.